Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up!
This is Pancakes and Power Slam Show, episode 187. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been here that long, 187 consecutive weeks. We keep going. There's not stopping us. Tuesday night is the place to be. I think everyone knows that. Everyone's aware of that. And it's something you're just going to have to deal with. Learn to love it. And we're here live. Chris Featherstone, unfortunately, will not be joining us here tonight. He is out on assignment. But you got myself, Derek. I'm the esteemed co-host. And we also have another guest, Ryan. You all know who Ryan is. Ryan from Ryan's Den. He comes on every couple weeks, gives us his take. So, Ryan, it's a cold, wet night here in the capital city of Ohio. And what are you doing exactly?
Well, what's going on, man? Just hanging out at the best spot I know, and that's Crave Wrestling, Pancakes and Power Slam. Typical Tuesday night. Fun stuff. Looking forward to tonight. The boss is away. We can have a little fun.
Yep. And that's all we're going to do is have fun. We got a lot to cover tonight. We've got a review to cover. We've got a Monday Night Raw. A bit lackluster. But it is what it is. Anyway, we talk about the state of the WWE, what's going on with it, what we think about. We'll go off topic, I'm sure. But we do have a flavor of the week tonight. We're going to be discussing the Survivor Series season, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the next pay-per-view next November will be Survivor Series. It's one of the original four staple shows, pay-per-views that they've had since the beginning of time. So we'll delve into that. We're going to talk about when the title changed hands at Survivor Series. Again, we're going to be covering some more of it next week and the week after, and et cetera, until Survivor Series. But we're going to talk about when the title changed hands. And think about that. We'll have a flavor of the week towards the end of the show. We'll go over that after we go over Raw and all the other tidbits. I also want to remind everybody, this time next week, same station, same channel, this time next week, part two of the Greg Gagne story is going to be coming on. He's going to come back on. He enjoyed himself last time he was here, maybe 3 weeks ago. Ran out of time, went over a long time, but he was here and told us inside stuff. You've seen the documentaries of him with AWA, but he was here. He was telling us about his history with Hulk Hogan and leaving the business and, you know, history of his dad and just what went on in AWA. And it's very personal when he's just here talking to us on the show. So he'll be here again next week. Don't miss it. Don't forget it. Mark your calendars. And, well, Ryan, Hell in a Cell came. It wasn't a horrible pay-per-view, I don't believe, overall. They had some good matches. The Hell in a Cell matches themselves were a spectacle. You know, you had Alberto Del Rio come back at the first match against Cena, beat him. What did you, after you watched Hell in a Cell, were you excited? Were you pleased? Were you disappointed? Pulling your hair out? What was going on with you, Ryan?
Well, first, let me, since you talked about Greg Gagne being on next week, and I just want to take time to say that it's just really cool for him to be down to earth and a friend of the show and take time, you know, coming from a legendary family and everything. And it wasn't until I got a little older that I started to learn the history of wrestling more and realized that his father had made all those WWF superstars and Hall of Famers. So, of course, shout-outs to Greg Gagne and then rest in peace to Vern. But look forward to hearing from him next weekend. And just real cool that he's just taking the time out to be on this show. I think that's awesome. But, yeah, Hell in a Cell, maybe for the first time, I don't know, maybe ever, maybe, well, I won't say ever, but it was okay. Not bad, I guess, if you say thumbs up. Thumbs down, I definitely say thumbs up on the grading scale. I don't know, somewhere around an average, maybe a slightly above average just because of, you know, you got the stars like Lesnar and Taker and, you know, you're in a, you know, Hell in a Cell. It's supposed to be this big thing, even though they've overdone it so much. But I personally, we'll get to Raw, but I personally thought Raw was actually better than Hell in a Cell. As for the Del Rio and Cena, man, what's the curtain joke in there? That was really weird. I don't know if Cena just wanted to have his match and get out of there and get on his bus and leave and get to his dates of whatever he had to do. But I feel like part of the match suffered because of that. He seemed a little checked out. Like, these two have definitely had some better matches than what they put on. And it's no disrespect to them. I just, you know, it's pay-per-view or network special, if you want to call it. You figured you see a little more, a little better work. But, or maybe it was just because no false finishes. There was just a clean finish, and let alone a Cena match. We don't see that often. I think the last time was probably Lesnar, and before that was probably Daniel Bryan at that SummerSlam. Yeah, it just, I don't know, I just felt like these two could have done more. The pairing of Del Rio and Zeb, I think maybe there's some Russo swerve down the line to bring Jack Swagger back, because I don't know, I'm not sold on that pairing. I'll take Zeb back. I'll take Del Rio back, whatever. Like, I'm just not sold on the pairing as of right now. What else? Yeah, I love Zeb on that Rascal. I don't know if it's a work or a shoot, but it just adds to the character. I love it, man. But I don't know. Do you think that the Zeb and Del Rio thing will last? Like, you think it's some sort of swerve coming with that, or what? Where does Del Rio hold the title till Cena comes back? I mean, because for him to just cleanly beat him, does Cena just come back and say, I got my butt whooped, you know, go into typical Cena promo mode? Or how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, that's I was thinking the same thing while you're talking that. I mean, what's John Cena going to do when he comes back? He's supposed to be gone for a couple months, whatever, which is fine. I mean, the guy's been there forever. We need a break. We need to get away from Cena for a while and focus on other things. Again, I want to go, the Zeb Coulter was great. And it was great to see Alberto Del Rio back, now that he doesn't come out in a Cadillac and honking the horn. That drove me nuts. I hated that. And that made me hate his character, because that was just so annoying. I'm glad to see him back. He looks like to be in tremendous shape. And I agree with you as far as Cena, just kind of like he was already gone. You know, he wasn't there. I mean, he just kind of lost too easily. And it was a good match. I mean, I won't take that away from it. But not one of Cena's finest. But with Alberto Del Rio coming back, I mean, in a way, though, it's just another person they can do a lot with that they just always kind of failed to do. I mean, I realize he was a world title holder for a while, but you know, I mean, there's just a lot more people there as well. And Chris and I talk about it every week that there's just there's so many fish in the pond that they just don't know what to do with. And they only have one gigantic, you know, massive star, and they just have no one to fall back on. But as far as Cena coming back, yeah, he's going to get the title back, obviously, or maybe even he's going to try to do a title run to get the title back. Obviously, if he comes back around Royal Rumble, maybe he'll be an entrant in the Royal Rumble, like a mystery person, and see what his road to WrestleMania goes to. I don't think he'd be done with the U.S. title. And, there's a lot of unanswered questions with that match. It's also, what's Alberto Del Rio? Is he going to keep the title challenge open every Monday night? I'd like to see that. I almost think that should almost be a requirement for the U.S. title anymore that Cena started. But it's either way. And I don't know. Well, how do you think Cena's going to come back? What's going to be his re-entry into the World Wrestling Entertainment?
I don't know. I mean, if it was me booking it, I would just – I might as well wait until the first Raw of the new year. Maybe if they could help themselves and hold off, they could even wait and just have him be a surprise entrance in the Rumble. But it sounds like he'll be back in, what is it, late December or something. But I don't know. I guess he just goes right back to Del Rio if he keeps it. I don't know. That's just a weird – that's a weird thing. That's why, to me, it was almost like a letdown that it was Del Rio. I don't want to fully say I was just, like, let down, but I was just hoping for maybe a little someone different, you know, maybe somebody younger, one of these guys. But then again, you've seen him face all the younger guys, so I don't know.
I'm still holding on to Kurt Angle's going to come back, and he's going to take the U.S. title itself. But, I mean, that's far in the – But before we go on to the next match, everyone, we got to have a trivia question tonight. And Survivor Series season, so we're going to kind of keep close to that. And I want to, what Survivor Series, what year did the Gobbledygooker make his intro? What year, what Survivor Series did the Gobbledygooker come to be? And we'll give you a couple to think that out. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I see somebody in the chat room saying something that I was thinking this whole time, saying that 4 months isn't long enough for Raw without Cena. Now, it's an insult, you know, saying that you can't push anybody in this time while Cena's away. And I've been thinking that the whole thing this entire time, everybody's all, who are they going to push? What are they going to do? And it's just like, one, it's not enough time, and two, how can we trust them to push anybody to take Cena's spot or even be at that level? I didn't see any hope of someone being pushed while he was gone. And even if they are, there's a possibility they could be fed to him when they come back, when he comes back. So
yeah.
I totally agree with that person in the chat room.
We got the smartest people. Sure, I'm telling you, as far as wrestling smarts go, I mean, we've got it down. But with Cena, he'd need to be almost gone a year or two before they find someone to really fill a spot. Now, I mean, it's a shame because they have people there, and they just keep crapping on talent that can be seen ever. Don't let him do it. I mean, I'm not the biggest fans of a lot of these people. Dolph Ziggler, I mean, he could easily kind of step in, give him something to feed on, and they just keep on killing Rusev over and over again, killing Ryback. Jesus, there's so much that could be done. I mean, everybody's mid-card now. It is a mid-card wrestling business. You got maybe three top people to go at the event. It's hard to say. Yeah, I forget where I was going with all this. But
that's exactly how they book it and run the show these days. There's a rotating main event of maybe two guys, and then everybody else is. It's not. It's like they don't even have a mid card. But if last night is any type of glimpse of the direction they may be going in the future, then that's good, because last night was good.
Yeah.
What else happened? Let's check the old stats here. Yeah, versus Wyatt. It was the first Hell in a Cell match. Honestly, I mean, that was pretty destructive, Hell in a Cell, what I've seen. As far as, I mean, the table, chairs, and the kendo being impaled through the skull with it. I realized it. I mean, how can you really describe that? I mean, it was great. It went on kind of long, I think. At least Reigns was beaten up, and I pretty much remember a lot of people saying Reigns when they were here. It was something along those lines, and the match really did pick up, turn into a lot of carnage, what you kind of expect from Wyatt, and especially Roman Reigns. So the match itself was good. It was a good Hell in a Cell match. I was happy with it. Again, slow in some parts, but yeah, that's pretty much just trying to fill up time, I suppose. But the high spots were absolutely really good, and you know, no one's ever seen a kendo stick like that. At least I haven't. Just kind of sticking out in the middle like that. So, yeah, I'm glad he was able to.
That was a very
good for the show.
Spot. Yeah, very dangerous spot in the PG era, but I still think this is what Vince and the corporate PG era wants Hell in a Cell to be now, and we'll talk about that at the end of Hell in a Cell, about the blood and everything, Taker and Lesnar, but this is the mild Hell in a Cell that they want it to be. It's just like how I said, they don't even need the Extreme Rules pay-per-view anymore because of their whole no headshots. And I'm okay with that because, you know, you don't, headshots are bad. We know this now, decades later. But no headshots, no blood, you know, it's just they don't really need these type of environments anymore. And if they do, it maybe needs to be once a year, and that's when you pull all the tricks out of the bag, so to speak. And this was actually the longest match of the night, I believe. So the younger talent getting some display here, but we know it's because of Reigns. I don't know. It was okay. Hell in a Cell does nothing for me anymore because they've just over-utilized it, kind of watered it down. Same thing, Elimination Chamber. So.
Yeah, I agree with that. The Hell in a Cell was, you know, when it first started, I remember, you know, the pay-per-view and the match and everything. And it was used very sparingly, like maybe even once a year. And, I mean, I'm fine. Maybe they should just dedicate the whole pay-per-view Hell in a Cell to Hell in a Cell matches and not have it any time other. To me, that would be a great equalizer because, again, you get too much of the same thing. I mean, throwing somebody through a table anymore is nothing. Back in the day, it was still something to see, something to behold. And it's overdone. And it seems like, you know, Bray Wyatt's at least trying to take the raw material that he has available to him and kind of make new ways to use that against his opponents, and that's fine. That's great. Be innovative. But, yeah, Hell in a Cell just doesn't have that same fear. But it is something, again, like you just mentioned. So this is what they wanted for this pay-per-view. I was reading an article today, and it was talking about how they get, like, a $100,000 fine if they bleed or something like that. And that's ridiculous. Yeah, I can see how they don't want to do that all the time. But this is the pay-per-view to do that. This is the pay-per-view to really go back to being TV-14 era, you know, the Attitude era. Go back to that for this. Be extra raw and rude and crude and, you know, bleed. Do whatever you need to do. Because we want to see that as well. We don't want to see Teletubbies every week on Monday Night Raw like we always do. But just one time a year, bring it out, and just leave it that way. If the corporate sponsors have problems with that, well, that's not my problem, but it's Vince's problem, so... That's the thing. They went public and everything just goes to crap. But anyway, Survivor Series. Gets to the trivia question. 1990 is correct. 1990 is the right answer. And so, let's see. We have another Survivor Series. And Team Union captains, Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Hulk Hogan. Who are the team captains of the opposing team at the 1998 Survivor Series? Who were team captains of Survivor Series 1998? Moving on after that, we had New Day versus the Dudleys. Tag team championship match on the line. Again, why are the Dudleys? Why do they constantly keep losing? It makes no sense. Yeah, they don't get cleanly pinned. It's by a technicality. But it's making the Dudleys just look weak and old and irrelevant. Let them win. Give them the titles. The New Day is going to stay on top. The New Day is going to be the hottest heel tag team. Everyone didn't want to really stay their heel half the time. Everyone loved them. They come out. They do their stuff. However, you want to keep watering this down and just making the Dudleys not look like a threat anymore. I mean, you're going to make the Usos look better when they eventually come back in a month from now or whenever. And you can't. The Dudleys, they brought them in. They are the legendary tag team. But they just keep losing and losing. They're almost going to be in the Chris Jericho status and the Kane and Big Show just because, you know, they're big names and, wow, it's going to cause a threat. But the bark's worse than the bite. So, I mean, the Dudleys are doing everything they can. I mean, they look great. They execute perfectly. But just these stupid technicalities, they lose, count out, or, you know, just being disqualified, that's no way to run this. And it's absolutely horrible. I love the Dudleys. They can do a lot. They can contribute a lot. But just let them do what they can do. Let them be the titles, and they will make the whole tag team universe that much better. If they decide to do the other, what do you think about it, Ryan?
Well, they came back on fire, picked up where they left off. It was like they were never gone. Both of them still in great shape, but maybe it's because, like you said, all the losses and things and not actually getting to the titles yet. But I almost feel like they've lost a little bit of steam. And this feud is going to go long because you got to think it's going to make its way to TLC to have a table match so they can put all three guys through the table whenever Woods comes back. But also, I was thinking, I know I've heard some chatters and people bring it up, is there a singles run for Bubba in WWE at all? And I think it would kind of be a slap in the face to D-Von, but at the same time, I know Bubba did some good work on his singles run in TNA, so I wouldn't be so much opposed to it. I would just not want them to have Bubba turn on D-Von and get all funky and swervy that way. But as for them two together, yeah, they got to win these titles eventually because it's they're losing steam with me. And New Day's great and everything, but this feud is it's going long, and we know it. And I think that's what's hurting a little.
Yeah, I mean it is pretty hurting them pretty bad. Again, they've almost lost steam with me. It's like they come back so big, they do that so much, and it's. You're just not really that into it. I mean, it's just like, okay. They lost again. Oh, they got disqualified. I'm tired of it. I mean, it's the same thing like with Seth Rollins. I mean, what is it with WWE making their heels or these champions and then just kind of – the only thing I want to say about the New Day is they are their weight in gold. Rollins, not so much. He's a Weasley. You know, it's working now, or at least it's starting to really get old. I don't know if I can see him being champion all the way up into WrestleMania. How would you feel about that, Ryan? Knowing Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah.
I know you're Seth Rollins. That's fine. But if he holds the time with his current character and everything for a whole year, dodging people, not really cleaning, winning cleanly that much, and you can say for one whole year he was the face of the WWE. I mean, does that even ring a bell? Does that kind of bother you a bit thinking about that?
Well, the booking of it and making him seem like he doesn't belong, yeah, that hurts. I mean, because you can have a Weasley heel, but at the same time, sometimes they got to look strong. So when that face wins the belt from him, it matters. But, yeah, no, I figured Seth would go all the way and they would hold off on Seth and Roman until Mania. But it seems they had other plans and they've, of course, we'll talk about later, but shot it up until next month. So we'll see how that goes. But no, I'd be okay with the from bell to bell, Mania to Mania, but just at some point during the road to WrestleMania, Mania season, you have to start making him more aggressive and look stronger and things like that, even if he doesn't feud with Reigns and whoever he feuds with. So, and I'm totally not opposed to a face turn for him during WrestleMania season.
Yeah, there's a lot to go on that, and with him, with his character as the Weasley smarmy get out of jail free all the time. So, nothing against his talent, but yeah, just that character alone, and it's kind of. Again, with the New Day, I mean, they're really over, and everyone seems to love that. I love it. At first, I was opposed to them, but now I see the value of them, the humor. I really like it. So, again, but with the Dudleys, getting back to it, they just need to kind of do something with them. They need to win a title. They need to really do something devastating to shake up the tag team division, because right now they're looking like another random tag team, which is what they are not. All right. After that, Charlotte and Nikki Bella, championship match. Charlotte again retains the title. Probably won't see Nikki Bella for a while. And, you know, Charlotte's a believable champion. She's a believable diva. I hate that word. But, I mean, I think she can, if she holds on to the title, she can really, you know, she can make a better match than Nikki can as far as, you know, in-ring talent and persona. And she's a big girl. I mean, she's tall. Not big. But she's tall. Ric Flair's daughter. That's great for the lineage and everything. But get behind her. Everyone should. I'm not saying that Divas or division is going to be that much better, but at least Charlotte is a true face in there. She can, you know, really get the job done. She's a believable champion, where I never really thought Nikki was. I mean, she just, I don't like the whole Divas thing. Always going to be against it. But other than that, the match was okay. It was a Divas match. We had to sit through it and watch it. But, again, I'm glad Charlotte came out on top.
Yeah, I look at Charlotte and you just see athlete, you know. Right now they're not – I don't know why they're not booking her or doing her that way. Like, it's, she won the title and kind of just disappeared. kind of took the back burner to this whole – PCB story and everything. They had a chance, they still do. They have a chance to build up Charlotte like a Ronda Rousey type and make her this dominant female that people can get behind and like. But I don't know. When you're facing somebody like Nikki Bella, it's hard to be a credible champ or whatnot. I just really think the Bellas need to go. They're part of that problem of the old Divas division, and then we could just have the women's division, you know. And I seen earlier somebody in the chat room asked where Sasha is, and trust me, I feel the same way. I need more Sasha. Like, I need my weekly Sasha fix. Because I think she's the best one out of all of them. Just Charlotte has the athleticism. Sasha just has like that, I don't know what it is, man, like the wrestling mind and just the ability and everything. She gets it more. And then Becky Lynch is, I don't know, Becky Lynch is really attractive. But, yeah, she's good too. She's really good too, so. But the main thing, just Bellas need to go, man. I would like to see Nikki take a break with John Cena. That'd be awesome. Maybe Brie can stay home with Brian. You know, they're the catalyst of the problem of the Divas division. They're like the start of that whole era. Maybe they weren't the first two, but I mean, that was that bikini model, or when John Laurinaitis was out searching for females that weren't wrestlers and just, you know, were bringing in women. So, yeah. Bottom line is they just need to move on to the women's division. Charlotte should just do a Medusa and throw the belt in the trash and say, I'm a woman, and it's the women's division. It's not hard to do. But that Divas belt probably sells money for young girls, so, yeah. Marketing.
Yeah. The marketing, and of course they have the E! Show, and so I'm sure WWE is getting a good kick from that. But, yeah, so just,
yeah.
You can have that. Just don't bring it into wrestling. Just don't bring it to Monday Night Raw. I mean, if you can, I don't know. Again, I'm not Vince. I can't. Like, money talks and everyone else walks. But, you know, I just remember being excited when Paige came over to the WWE. And she had a lot of hype, and it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, she was just another diva.
It wore off, yeah.
I don't – Charlotte, she's still, you know, holding strong. With Becky Lynch, all of them. But,
yeah, and
keep
then
it going.
I teach chat room here. Someone was impressed by Nikki Bella at Hell in a Cell, and I can get behind that. I don't mean to totally bury her, but I just it's still in the back of my mind. And I can definitely admit she's gotten better over these years for sure. Where you would think Brie Bella would get better quicker, being Daniel Bryan's significant other, but. Just knowing, like I said, just knowing the Bellas are the catalyst of that whole diva thing, that just leaves a sour taste in your mouth, man. You know, we all, I'm sure as wrestling fans, we all hate the whole diva thing.
Yeah, I know, I surely do. I mean, you can listen to episodes, probably starting from episode one of Pancakes and Power Slams, where it was, there's just nothing really that great to talk about with it. There's just nothing, you know, technically,
diva is a negative thing. Like I thought like female singers were divas when they wanted so many things in their dressing rooms and things like that and gave orders. So I've never understood how diva was a positive thing.
Yeah, it's society now, I guess. Being a diva, a prima donna, that's, you know, what's expected of people, I guess. But try to play the role. She plays the role well. And, yeah, I don't want to totally bash Nikki all the way, even though I am a Nikki basher. But if that's what WWE want to put out, she has been doing better. But, again, yeah, I want a vacation away from her. Go away. And if you come back, okay. But I'd like to see the Divas division to be a 180 just what it was when she left. So, again, that would probably have to be a year or two of her being gone. But that's not going to happen. So, let's see. We do have a correct answer to the trivia question, Boss Man and Akeem. And that was the second Survivor Series. And both of them were here in Ohio, Richmond, Ohio. So, good for that. I didn't even know Richmond was that big of a town to have a pay-per-view. But, oh, well.
Yeah.
The 80s.
Well, that's a long time ago, that's why.
A long, long time ago. let's see. And honestly, okay, let's go back to Survivor Series 1990. What was the name of the team that included Nikolai Volkoff, Tito Santana, and the Bushwhackers? What was the team name? The Bushwhackers, Tito Santana, and Nikolai Volkoff. All right, so we're going to go on. Kane and Rollins. For me, I knew Rollins was going to win this match. There's no way Kane was going to win Demon Kane, as much as I want to see him just go back to being the old Kane and just wreak carnage and havoc on everybody. He loses too cleanly, too easily. And it kills just about all the credibility of Kane. They're using him as a big name, like I just mentioned a little bit ago. But they're just going to bury him every chance they get. It was an easy match for Seth Rollins. And we've seen him beat Kane, I'm sure, at least two or three times in the past. And we've seen a lot of people beat Kane almost all the time, every episode of Raw or SmackDown. So this match didn't really have anything to me. There was really not much at stake. Yeah, okay, corporate Kane's job. I don't like to see that. I thought it was kind of comical. I like the split between the two. But this, to me, just doesn't really – where does it go now? I mean, Kane's going to come back, obviously, which we found out after Survivor Series or Hell in a Cell and on Monday Night Raw that maybe the Brothers of Destruction are going to cross paths here in the future and maybe team up. That's going to be an interesting angle to see. That's just speculation and hearsay. But I want to be the first to say it in my mind. However, the thing with Kane, it just doesn't really pile up anymore. And he's not a believable monster like he used to be. But maybe him being with The Undertaker again would be a shot in the arm to make him the nostalgic old Kane. But again, this match just really didn't do anything. It could have been on Monday Night Raw as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And that's absolutely insane to say when it's a WWE title match. And I'm sure it's not the first time. Sure, we've had lame title matches plenty of times before. Nothing's coming to mind off the top of my head. But now we know why they wrote Corporate Kane off, since Demon Kane is going to be trying to help his old brother out. But there was no – I was surprised there was no unmasking by Seth Rollins. Like, all this time he was saying, Kane, I know you're the same person, and then he just beats him and that's it. He never tries to expose him. Thought that was a little weird. They could have just had the build of it be Corporate Kane versus Seth Rollins and then fired Corporate Kane, and then Monday he could have came out against the Wyatt, you know, give us a little something extra. But I don't know. It's sad when Seth is my guy. It's the WWE title. You know, somebody like Kane that we all respect, you know, we all appreciate his career, but at the same time, we could care. Not speaking for all of us, most of us could have cared less about this match. I don't know if it's because we knew the outcome or what. There was nothing big there.
There wasn't at all. Like I said, it could have been even a SmackDown match, and it wouldn't have really done anything for me. After that, we got Owens and Ryback, Intercontinental Championship. Ryback, again, he just looks – they built him up so many times. I think it was like twice when he first came, and then his second coming, which was probably maybe 5-6 months ago. It's forgotten. I mean, he's been beaten cleanly twice by Kevin Owens, and that's good for Kevin Owens. He's a believable Intercontinental Championship title holder for the fact he's got more of a personality. Ryback still just – he's a monster in the ring, but his personality just doesn't. He just seems like a oversized jock that just screams his taglines. He doesn't have a personality still. Still, he doesn't have a personality. I guess they're seeing that, and that's why they bring him back to high expectations. But he just doesn't have the whole package. Yeah, he's got the look, the tools. He's got his tool set, but he doesn't. You know, he's no scientific by any means. Kevin Owens a little more versatile. I mean, he's just really made a huge splash in the WWE. He came in on a high note, and he's got the IC belt now, so you can't say that he's on the afterburner and he's just kind of traipsing through the garden, just hoping to find a spot. He is the Intercontinental Champion, and that's great for him. And he's doing well with it. Ryback, on the other hand, just he's going to get lost in the shuffle, and I don't really see a whole lot more coming from Ryback, other than just being a lackey, he's another guy. I mean, that's pretty much the thing. And he's almost at the cusp to where you think, okay, this guy's going to break through finally, but he doesn't. And I'm not totally shocked by it all the way, because it was kind of like a Batista. I never got over big on Batista. I just always thought he was kind of a two-dimensional character, and I still do. I mean, obviously, he's been champion several times. He's doing great in Hollywood. Nothing against him. I just was never a Batista guy. And I see a lot of that in Ryback, just not having that much of a, I don't know. I guess Batista had more of a fan connection. But Ryback just doesn't, he's boring. And that's totally, I repeat myself a million times, man. But, you know, Kevin Owens, I'm glad he won. He retained the title. I don't see anything else coming out of this feud. But the match overall was, it was a good match. But, you know, the outcome was predictable again for me.
I think Batista just had a little more charisma, not much, just slightly more. Batista's best WWE is before he had left the first time, that last however, what, like 6 months when he was on that heel run, and that was cool because it was funny. But that's really, like, the biggest time I'd ever been into him. That and him and Guardians of the Galaxy was pretty funny. But, no, man, I think Ryback has peaked twice. The first time was when he was feuding with Punk, when people were into him. And then he had the, I want to say it was a triple threat with him, Cena, and Punk, and people seemed to be into him then. I really wasn't buying it. Maybe it was because of the guys he was working with. Probably it was. That was one time he peaked, and then the other time is right before he had just had the staph infection. He seemed to be going the right way and was doing well. And it just, he got the staph infection and came back, and it just, it wasn't there. So I think he's peaked twice. But as for this match, it was pretty short. I don't know if they were hurting for time or what, but I did see a funny joke on Twitter saying that Taker's entrance was longer than this match. And I'm sure it is. There might not have been that much difference in time, though. I just think that they should have had Kevin Owens do like a dirty win again instead of just outright clean or whatever. Just keep Owens on that heel pace, man, because we all like him, but we need to boo him to, you know, put him in that top spot if we're at a show. And me and Chris, real quick, we were at a ROH over the weekend, and there's guys, heels we like, but since we're there in person, it was hard to do it. We still booed just so they, you know, the bookers, the management, whatever, could see that, okay, these guys are getting booed. They're doing something right. Let's put them in the main event. That's what you, it's kind of what you have to do, man. You just got to suck it up. But, of course, you know, WCW and the Attitude Era, they created the cool heels. I always say that because NWO, even though they were heels, they were so darn cool, man. But don't let me get off track. Like I said, just, I want to do some dirty wins, man. Just keep raking eyes and grabbing tights and things like that. And just keep running his mouth.
Yeah, and he's good at that. I mean, that's great. That's a perfect heel. He is a perfect heel. He's got a combination of everything. Keep it going with him. Forget about Ryback. I mean, he's nothing. And there's a, in the chat room, reform Rybacksel. He was great in that. That was awesome. I had a great time with that. And, Curtis Axel, you know, evidently, you know, they don't have anything for him ever since the Hulk Hogan thing came out with his racial slurs and whatnot. But I like that team. I like the funny team. The New Day's funny. But it's almost like Ryback needed that to really make him more of a personality. And, you know, when they play off each other, I mean, it's like when Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle back in the day, they were kind of a team sitting there chugging milk together and stuff like that. It brought personality to them. It made them funny. It made them an everyday person. So with Ryback, again, he just has that thing where you don't want to touch him or look at him because, you know, he might punch you in the face. It's just not working for him. He's got that attitude and persona, but let him crack a joke and smile and do something. He could do that, and that would get over well. I mean, it did with Rybacksel. I mean, they were being cheered. People liked them. And that was very short-lived. But yeah, Ryback being just a beast that comes in and breaks everything down, he just doesn't have the – he can do it, but he doesn't have the character to really perform the skills to make it relevant, I guess. Because again, he's getting beaten all the time, and just, they've run out of options for that guy, unfortunately. And that's to see us. Well, after that, we got the main event, Taker and Lesnar. That was a really good Hell in a Cell match. I enjoyed it immensely. I mean, both of them really took it all out there. And Undertaker, he looked good. I thought he looked fine. He came out. He was ready to go. I mean, they both put on a fantastic show. It, to be the end of the trilogy of them, that's fine. I mean, I just probably won't see Brock Lesnar for a long time anyway. But I guess it's not going to be the last time we see The Undertaker because the way the Wyatt's carried him out and everything. So that's going to be a new angle, which we briefly discussed earlier. We'll talk about it a little more now. But they both put on a great show. It was what I was looking for in the Hell in a Cell match. Lesnar won by the low blow, which is kind of funny in a way, just because Taker did that to him at SummerSlam. But I'm glad that Taker didn't go out on this note. Yeah, I got hit in the balls, and now I'm I lost the match. You know,
yeah.
That's my last match, ladies and gentlemen. I'm on to the Hall of Fame. So I liked the match. It was good. I mean, they pulled out all the stops, you know, with some both of them, you know, juicing and just it was your typical, I wouldn't say typical, it was your Hell in a Cell match that you expect to see. It wasn't just two random jabronis thrown in there and let's see what they can do. But it was, you know, it was main event status. The build-up behind it was good. I liked the build-up. And it just went out and performed. Hats off to the Dead Man. Hats off to Lesnar. I was happy with it all the way. What about you?
Yeah, this is what we talked about earlier, how this should only be one Hell in a Cell match once a year, you know, maybe even every 18 months if you really want to build it up and make us care about it more. And this is what it should be like. Blood ripping up the mat. Just raw aggression, man. Ruthless aggression. It's just brutal. Like, it should be like this. This is a Hell in a Cell, we know. And this one was still even a bit mild versus what we've seen back when they first started. So, yeah. But I am glad that the feud with Taker and Lesnar is over. I'm still a little butthurt that Taker just, he Brock is his kryptonite and just has the one win against him. That's a tough pill to swallow. I love Lesnar, but Taker's been my guy since, you know, I was a kid. So, yeah. It was good that he did the point and gave him props and just to let you know it's really over. All right, there's some respect there. They're not going to go back to it. That's great. And then afterwards, okay, my first reaction to Bray Wyatt was just negative, and I was just like, no, what is this? They've already got it locked up. What are we doing? And then had the overnight to think about it, and then the Raw, and then I'm actually all for it. I'm all on board. If they want to do the team of Taker, Sting, and Kane, and maybe not even have Sting get in the match since he, you know, he had the injury and just sit out on the apron and get in and do a Stinger splash or, you know, one or two spots, I'm totally for that team. I'd rather see Taker and Sting team up than see them go against each other because I don't want to have to pick which one I want to cheer for. And then that would also give Taker, if he's going to be leaving next year, which that might be a maybe because, like you said, he doesn't look as bad as these matches go on. But, you know, that'll give him his closure with Kane. That'd be another good thing to do. So if that's going to be the team, man, if that's what they're going with, that's great. If they're doing 4-on-4, I don't know who that fourth guy could be to blend in with those three. Because when you think Taker, Kane, and Sting, and maybe chat room has a little more better ideas, but I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that just blends in right away with those three.
Yeah, thinking about that earlier. Who would be the fourth man? I'm not even going to think about it because I don't even know if it's anything that's in the works. But, yeah, I mean, exactly. The Bros of Destruction, I mean, that would make Kane look a little more relevant than he has been. But I hated Wyatt when he came out. I was thinking the same thing. I think everybody was. And then you kind of realize, okay, well, when they beat him up and they carried him out the way they did, okay, Taker's going to be around. Maybe they're going to push him onto Survivor Series, make that his finale, because that's his, you know, where he debuted, you know, 25 years ago. So, I mean, that would be perfect. Awesome. Undertaker would win, go out in victory, see you later. Or maybe not. I don't know. It's wrestling. Nobody knows what's going to happen the next day. So it's one of those. But overall, Hell in a Cell, like we both said, it was a good pay-per-view. Solid. It wasn't the best, but, you know, it was what I got. The final Hell in a Cell match, like I said, made the pay-per-view, made it to high stakes, pretty good. Liked it, so that's about it. Any final words on the Hell in a Cell, Ryan?
Other than having it as a gimmick pay-per-view not happen anymore and just letting it come up organic when two guys have a long feud and they just need to end it. No, that's good for me. Just don't make it a gimmick pay-per-view anymore. Bring No Mercy back in October.
No Mercy. What was some other one? There was Judgment Day. I think WWE did a stab at Great American Bash a couple times. So, yeah, Unforgiven.
Yeah.
I remember Unforgiven, Fastlane.
Yeah.
But, anyway, the Alliance is the correct answer to the trivia question. And that was 1990. We'll skip ahead a couple years. Let's go to 1992. Big Boss Man defeated Nails in what kind of match? It was a gimmick match, but what kind of match was it? And we'll go with that. So put your Googlers down. This is just for people that remember it. Can't Google these answers. I'm sure nobody does. And if you do, then shame on you. But, all right, we already get it. Well, it was a nightstick match. What was a nightstick on? It's like a two-part question. Nightstick match, what was a nightstick on? And so there you have it. Hell in a Cell. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be getting into Raw here in a second. One word from the sponsors, Pancakes and Power Slam.
Bring what you got. The measuring stick just changed around here, buddy. You're looking at it.
Four corners, free, on mine. Let's go. The whole squad is making it clear, we've taken this year. You know who we are, but you don't know why we're here. So this is where the big boys play. These big boys play like who defies the living God? Get out the big boys' way. Outsiders with the swoop in, we live as kings. You see in us, but our third man waits in the wings. And when the time is right, we shock him with the proper attack. I go for Dolo, but ain't solo, cut the promo in black. Hollywood, Hendrix, Prizzle, pinning them to the mat.
And I'm Dash One Nickin, with the strength of 100 men, with one intent, to see the will fulfilled of the one who sent his son to give himself. But you rap about your gas and your rags torture, white coffins when I drop a bomb. My mic's awesome, never lost faith. You in all space, you can all skate, suffer but never crippled. No bin walls in my cross face. From here to Saturday, raving, anticipating. I was frostbit, now I am Glacier, mixed with some Vader. Get to hawking with these animals, using God for my defense. In Alabama, we jamming. That's beautiful, Bobby Eaton, me and Priest. We the Dangerous Alliance, nah, the Harlem Heat. Tie the do-rag before we do battle. You're talking sheep, you all what you speak. That's too sweet.
Till the number is took back, we repping that work pack. The foundation shaking, no mistaking, yeah, we shook that. Trust in God, we trust, pushing forward, never look back. Meekness ain't at all weakness, some people mistook that. Stamping out this crook rap, he turning the power.
power on the razor's edge, leg drop after a power bomb. Tired of the lies, man, we bringing the truth through, diligent and fruitful, the owners in our group too. It's good to be king, sold out, this war is brutal.
We playing them war games, our army go move too. You crew, I'm in the Raptors with a bat in my hand, and stand to shatter all your plans so they don't matter. In the grand scheme, it's that easy. We tag teaming, Steiner brothers, we love it. Demand the win, establish it. This the clash of the champions.
This is where the big boys play, huh? We ain't here to play.
I'm here to play. I'm here to play trivia. I don't know about you guys. Night pole on a stick match. Great. I can't believe something like that actually existed. But anyway, a night stick on a pole match. Well, we'll go with that. Next question. There was a third Survivor Series pay-per-view in Richmond, Ohio that I've forgotten about. Getting in my old age, getting forgetful. What year did that Survivor Series take place? Let's see. So, and also, I want to say something. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Featherstone, he's a journalist here on We Are Wrestling Network and WeAreWrestling.net, sorry. We're on here live, chat room. We've been here for probably about a year or so. And he wrote an article today. It's a really good article. I want to hit on it real quick before we get into Raw. It's about the Roman Reigns being a flip-flopper. That's the name that he made up for that. We like that name. But anyway, pretty much it kind of goes over the fact that how Roman Reigns, you know, the way he's being built, and being basic, having a cool accessory, and also how he is on the mic. And he's one of those people that fans love him, fans hate him. There's not really, you know, they go through phases, and he delves on that. I can't explain it like he does, but obviously go to it, look at it, and read it. It's an awesome, awesome read. But he really brings up the best points in it as far as how, you know, Reigns is Vince's hand-picked guy, much like Stone Cold Steve Austin was, much like The Rock was, Hulk Hogan. But Roman Reigns just isn't receiving the same attention and reaction that, you know, the previous have. Why is that? What can he do to make that better? It goes over all that and just how he is on the mic. I mean, he needs to really brush up on his mic skills. I mean, he is kind of boring. Same thing with Seth Rollins. He just goes in his monotone Billy phase and just keeps ranting on whatever and goes on and on. Same thing with Reigns. He doesn't go on as much. He's just very black and white. He doesn't have any really big charisma to him like The Rock did, Stone Cold and Hogan. And he brings up a good point how, you know, Stone Cold was the ringmaster. No one got behind him. And The Rock was Rocky Maivia. But he turned that, Vince McMahon was able to turn that into something that just absolutely blew up and made the WWE still prominent to what it is today. Why can't Roman Reigns do that? How come no one really believes in Roman Reigns? Why is Vince force-feeding him down our throats, but we didn't accept it like we did with Stone Cold and with The Rock? Because he just doesn't have that natural charisma. I don't want to say he doesn't have it ever. He doesn't have it yet. So, anyway, the article, absolutely, just it'll blow your mind. Ryan, I'm sure you probably read it. I mean, how do you think about that with Roman Reigns? Why don't we believe in him to the point where he's been pushed down our throats, you know, more than a year now, but with the Shield breaking up, and it just no one really wants to see him succeed as much as they did with Austin and Rock and Hogan. So what gives?
I don't know. I guess the main thing would be jealousy, kind of. It's not from, like, it's hard to explain. Like, you know, somebody really likes Cesaro, and they're like, hey, this guy Cesaro's a phenomenal wrestler. He'll wrestle circles around Reigns. Why is Reigns being the one pushed, you know? That's part of it, you know. I don't have a problem with Reigns. I stayed the course. I'm waiting it out to see how it goes. And like you said, the three things he touched on, one of them was the mic work. And I've actually told Chris this too. Like, I think the dude's getting too much. And, you know, when you got people writing things for you,
it's not going to work. It's like we come in, we come on this show, somebody was giving us bullet points, you know, it wouldn't work because that's not us. That's not our feelings. It's not the emotions we have. Same thing, the chat room, you know, they don't have people writing for them, you know, wouldn't be the same. The moveset, I mean, come on. He's not the first guy in wrestling to have a limited moveset. And I will say watching Reigns live was kind of cool, man, like doing the drive-by and stuff like that. I mean, for his size, the limit of his moveset is okay. It's not like he's this Neville who's going to do all this crazy stuff. There's not a lot of Cesaros and Brock Lesnars out there that are just big guys who are that phenomenal type of athlete. There's a good amount, but there's not just that many blue chippers. And as for him being the chosen one, don't let Cena ruin it for you. Like you said, like Chris said, there's been plenty of chosen one guys. Cena was the of course, the last one, and you know how we all look at Cena. I'm actually a bit of a Cena apologist because I went through my phase where he made me quit for a good year. Not so much quit, but just not, I didn't pay attention as much. I just couldn't do it anymore. So I've been through that phase with Cena, so I've given up. But, yeah, anybody who's listening that hasn't checked it out, I know I've seen a couple of chat room names in the comment sections on his article. So I know a couple of chat room cats have checked it out. But if you're listening now and you haven't checked it out, we are WrestlingNation.com, WAWNation.com. Go check it out.
Of course, check it out, man. And WAW Nation, it's everything you need in a wrestling website. I mean, it's got, you know, rumors, it's got stories, highlights, everything. You can vote on things. I love the website. Chris introduced me to it a while back, and especially when the Pancakes and Power Slams came on. So, actually, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we do have somebody that wants to talk to us. I'm not sure why, because they shouldn't have access to this. But anyway, let me see if I can bring them in. We have a caller on the line. Can you please introduce yourself?
I sure can.
Who is this? Is this Nick by Volkoff? We're just talking about you at the Survivor Series.
Chris Featherstone, live and living Keller.
Oh, man.
What's going on?
Glad to have you. You're great. You're always a wonderful guest to have. What can you tell us about your thoughts, Hell in a Cell, Monday Night Raw, any certain article that might have been written by you? Go on and tell us everything you need to let us know on Pancakes and Power Slam.
Well, first of all, you guys are doing a fantastic job in my absence. Most of the show I was absent, so kudos to you and Ryan. Have an awesome Crave Wrestling staff that just does a fantastic job to just pick up the reins, so to speak, and do a fantastic job. And kudos to, just of course, WAWNation.com, just awesome people there to post the article up, just to keep the ball rolling with the Pancakes and Power Slam show. I have so much to say, but I'll condense it real quick because this is actually my vacation day, but I wrote an article today about Roman Reigns, real quick. As far as Hell in a Cell is concerned, it was not. I didn't like it much, but I actually liked it better than many other pay per views this year. The Taker match, I guess it's just the Undertaker fan that I am. I was not happy that Brock had yet another win against the Undertaker. And it's so funny because I kind of knew that it was going. I was booking Taker to win, but the more I kept seeing the the footage that they were showing, they kept saying like chapter one, and they were using actually chapter one as the streak. And I kept thinking in my head, no, that's not chapter one. Chapter one was, you know, No Mercy 2002, you know, Hell in a Cell when Brock won, or, you know, No Mercy 2003 and the Biker Chain match where Brock won again. So as they were doing that, of course, you know, the Vince McMahon theory of we're supposed to forget history for some reason, it kind of made me think, this might not be good for The Undertaker. The Wyatt family thing I was totally opposed to. When it came back on Raw and I saw Kane, I said, okay, well, this 25th anniversary, they kept plugging that on the pay-per-view, and I know it's going to be featuring The Undertaker. And, you know, I was thinking of a few things, actually. The four that I thought was Taker, Kane, Randy Orton, and Dean Ambrose. Because Orton is, I don't know the severity of his shoulder injury, but if his shoulder is good, they'll just write him back in, say that the Wyatt family attacked him. He'll be the third guy. And, of course, Dean Ambrose, he's just floating around Wyattville. He's like the bad neighbor in Wyattville. He just, you know, he just hovers around all the time. And so he'll be inserted in there and be the fourth guy. Of course, I don't see Sting being inserted at all. His neck injury is pretty severe, so he'll probably come back. You know, hopefully he's well enough to even make it to Mania next year. So the whole carrying off the Taker thing, it was just kind of cheesy to me. Carrying off Kane made it a little bit better. So I'm hoping that, and it really, at the end of the day, it's just going to make The Undertaker look good for his 25th anniversary on, you know, at the expense of Bray Wyatt, who lost cleanly that same night to Roman Reigns, which it just doesn't make sense to me. Hopefully it's going to be a little better throughout the coming weeks. But real quick before I go, I want to talk about Roman Reigns' article that I wrote today. I was just meditating on the past few days and just thinking about Roman Reigns throughout the entire year, and of course listening to my previous shows. If you know, I've spoken for Roman Reigns and many times, but just I was really just kind of thinking. I was just thinking about a bunch of things today, and a lot of time, most of the times, the best way, you know, to translate my thoughts is to put it on paper. That's why I love writing, and that's why I write for WAWNation.com. Cheap plug there. But I was just like, okay, I got so much passion right now. I have to put this. I have to write it down. I have to make this an article. And I just have to let it filter out and just let it flow. And it was great because it was a good way to digest it was a good way to just translate my thoughts on Hell in a Cell and Raw, especially Raw, because I mean it's to the point now, and I put this in my article. It's to the point now that people who just despise Roman Reigns just because they just want to get themselves over, and you know, it's one thing to say Roman Reigns, you know, I just don't care for him too much. He just doesn't fit my style of wrestling. I'm just not a big fan. I can understand that. I don't have any problems with that. You know, I'm not a big Kevin Owens fan, but he's a heck of a wrestler. He's a great heel. You know, I was a Kevin Steen fan in Raw Rates for a little bit, but just Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, I'm not a fan. He's a great wrestler, but I'm just not a fan because, you know, there's just some intangibles about him that I necessarily doesn't react well. Plus, he's a heel, and I'm not supposed to like him anyways. But there's certain wrestlers that just don't really cut the mustard for me, so to speak, just because I'm not too big on them as far as their character is concerned. But I'm not going to just say I despise this person. This person is horrible. This person is just atrocious. He's trash. I'm not going to say that towards someone I don't like because I don't have that much passion to put so much energy in just not liking someone. I just don't have that. But you have the smarks and you have the people who – you have the Roman Reigns bashers of this day who spend so much energy saying, oh, I hate Roman Reigns. He's trash. I mean, I've even seen a comment say, you know, let Roman Reigns control the WWE so the WWE can go under so people can, you know, unsubscribe from the WWE network. Now, why are you spending so much energy and draining yourself emotionally for someone who you don't like? It's probably not because you don't like Roman Reigns. It's probably because you want to troll and you want to be heard and you want to be somebody, finally, behind a computer. So those are the type of people that I don't necessarily care for, and I discarded them almost immediately in my article. I wanted to talk about the people who actually gave reasons of why they don't like Roman Reigns, and I wanted to address those reasons. That's the reason why I made sure to address them thoroughly, the three reasons that I hear mostly from different people and different articles and different comments, and even, you know, a lot of my articles. I wrote a few Roman Reigns articles on Bleacher Report and had hundreds of comments on each one. That's how polarizing Roman Reigns is. So if I'm getting, you know, I usually get a lot of comments on my articles on Bleacher Report, but when I'm having 400 comments on one article, that just goes to show how polarizing Roman Reigns is, and how people, even if they don't like him, they still give him attention, and that's exactly what Vince McMahon wants. So you're just feeding the monster of Roman Reigns, if you like him or not. So you might as well give him a shot and at least give him an opportunity. The guy's only been there less than 3 years. Give him an opportunity. He's evolved. Go to Meltzer's ratings. I was just looking at this earlier today when I was writing my article. I was looking at the ratings of Meltzer ratings of his matches with Daniel Bryan and Big Show and Bray Wyatt, and they were in high threes or four. I think 4.5 for Daniel Bryan. So you can't just dismiss those things. It's just impossible to really spend time to dismiss those things. And so I addressed them in my article, and I'm really happy that I took the time to really address that. And I'll talk more about it as you know, Roman Reigns evolves and the whole Seth Rollins thing. But real quick before I go, I see an Ambrose turn, and we'll talk about, you know, in the coming weeks we'll talk about Survivor Series. But I see an Ambrose turn happening in Survivor Series. I was very happy with how Raw went, one, because it was different, two, because it actually gave us a cliffhanger, you know, as far as Rollins and Reigns. There wasn't a lot of talking. They looked at each other. Rollins went out, and Reigns went out. Good cliffhanger, good suspense building. Why can't we get that all the time? So, you know, it was the break from the norm, which was good. And, you know, we'll talk about that more in the coming weeks. But, you know, I thank you all. You guys are doing a fantastic job, and I'm going to enjoy the rest of my vacay.
Take it easy. Take it easy. And like he was saying, too, I was thinking of this. I just didn't want to cut him off on the comeback. But another thing about people hating on Reigns, too, I think some fans are just sheep. And they just follow suit with what the other fans that they think are cool or knowledgeable. Listen to me, I sound like a DARE program. But they just follow suit with other fans, man. So, I don't know. Have your own opinion. Get your own backbone. Don't be afraid to cheer who you want.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I love Fandango. Fandango is my guy. If he came out tomorrow, I'd be excited as hell.
Hey, but I'm on this show, and this show is known for Seth Rollins heat.
Yeah. So it's you know, cheer who you want to cheer. That's fine. I mean, for me, Roman Reigns, I'm such an Attitude Era stuck guy. It's like nothing's ever going to be as good as the Attitude Era. And I'm still in that way. I am still dead set on that way. I watch the current product. I don't hate it. I mean, it's good. You can build on it. I enjoy following the storylines, obviously, because, you know, I'm on the show and I'm watching, you know, Monday Night Raw. And, I mean, it's a priority. Wrestling's on. Mm-hmm. I want to watch it. So, but, yeah, with Reigns, again, I still don't see the same love that, you know, they've given people in the past, but, you know, maybe it's just still needs to build. So, again, you know, great article. Roman Reigns, still for me, has a way to go. But if they put the belt on tomorrow, I'm not going to be – I'll just follow it like I always do. You know, I've been sticking this long with Seth Rollins' fiasco being – you know, the champion, and I was kind of complaining earlier about how he's a whiny, wimpy, nerdy little mouse, but if it works, it works. I'll continue to watch it, so, yeah, that's the way it is. So, after that, I still don't have a right answer. I don't have a right answer for the last trivia question. When was the last time Survivor Series was in Richfield, Ohio? So I'm still looking for that right answer. Ryan, we've got about, I'd say about 10 minutes or so to go over Monday Night Raw. The Raw, you know, it was it was okay. I liked the Fatal 4-Way that they had. That added to it. The Raw wasn't that different from previous Raws to me, even though you liked it and a lot of other people thought it was great, which is fine. Wonderful. But, you know, overall, again, yep, Owen versus Cesaro. I hated, you know, Cesaro lost. I mean, he's another almost Ryback. He's got way more charisma than Ryback will ever have in his pinky. But the WWE continues to just crap on him, so I don't get that. Yeah, Sheamus, Barrett, Rusev versus the Dudleys and Ryback. You know, why is Ryback hanging out with the Dudleys? The Dudleys, they just need to have on to. They need a saving grace. And even bring out Spike. If that's going to make the WWE want the Dudleys to really change up the tag team division, that's great. Do that. Do something with the Dudleys. Do something with Sheamus, Barrett, and Rusev. There's a term they called them, the Dirty Europeans or something like that. I couldn't remember. It was funny. But it just doesn't really do that much for me. And you got Big E versus Dolph. That was actually a pretty good match. I was happy about that. Tyler Breeze came out with Summer Rae. So that's a whole new thing going on with them. They were at ringside. Reign and Ambrose backstage segment, and like Chris mentioned, yeah, Ambrose is bound to turn heel within the next couple months at least, and he needs that. I want that for him. That's going to be such a breath of fresh air. However, is that going to be good enough? Is that going to put Ambrose back on the top? I mean, he headlined a couple pay-per-views, you know, not too long ago, and he's just backstage material now. So, I mean, that's the only time you really see him on Raw the past few weeks, is backstage giving a high five to Reigns. So that could almost be like a Marty Jannetty, Shawn Michaels split at the barbershop if something like that was to happen. But we'll see what Ambrose can really do outside of that. And, of course, we had Ziggler, Reigns, Del Rio, and Owens in the Fatal 4-Way at the end of the match. The winner, of course, gets to go up against Seth Rollins. That was a good main event. Because it's one of those where you watch, I think Ziggler just wrestled and he had to come back out for the final show. All of them, you know, participated in a really good fashion. So the Raw last night, it was good, but you know, it didn't blow my mind. After Hell in a Cell, we're not going to see Lesnar for a while. So I think you're really going to have to really build on what you've got. And the Raw last night will just be footsteps to see what happens next Raw. But with the Wyatts carrying out Kane last night, to me, that just kind of builds up even something better for Survivor Series. And overall, I'm kind of looking forward to that. Just want to see what's going to happen. The year before that, last year, it was all about Sting coming in. We all know what happened with Sting as far as his progression with the WWE, but, you know, Brothers of Destruction coming back together against the Wyatts. It was refreshing to see K Kane get the same treatment as The Undertaker did, because then you know something's really sticking here. And this could be Bray Wyatt's saving grace as far as, you know, making himself more relevant as a heel. But, Ryan, your thoughts on Monday Night Raw last night and everything else we talked about?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the Monday Night Raw bar has been a little low lately, so this was a really good Raw for me. But I know my main thing, my main reason that Raw was good for me is because it was, I just got done telling Chris over the weekend that WWE had, they just weren't presenting the show as a sport. And I felt like yesterday they finally did that and got back to it. Anytime you have the, you know, little tournament play or elimination type play, I love that. I like when wrestling is presented as a sport. I'm one of those people. I was a teenager during the Attitude Era, so yeah, I did like the backstage stuff, the in-ring mic stuff. I loved it then, but as I've gotten older, I just want to see people wrestle each other. Like, I just wanted to see it as a sport. That's all I care about now. And there's actually a theme. Like, if you think about this, I was just looking at this list here, and 5 out of the 7 matches yesterday mattered. You had 4 matches to get in, and then you had the last one being the number one contender match. Like, that's really cool. We don't get that on anything WWE anymore. So I thought that was awesome. Even the 6-man was like kind of like a loser's constellation match, because all those guys had lost the night before. Still the diva spot, I was still just like, eh. I mean, I felt like Paige has done a heel turn every week for the past month. So, to me, that wasn't really anything, because her whole, I don't even want to say pipe bomb, because that term has been overused. But that was, to me, that was like her heel turn then. So, I would like it if she wasn't the one that beat up Natalya and they bring in somebody, you know, another woman that could wrestle. That'd be cool. But it'll probably just end up being Paige. And as for the actual main event, that main event was actually really cool, man. That was almost a pay-per-view like main event. It went a good amount of time. Everybody was showcased. I enjoyed it all. Watching those dastardly Wyatts and Bray Wyatt, actually his promo, it, you know, for as much slack as he catches for people saying that his promos don't matter sometimes, this one actually mattered and made sense, so I could get behind that. But those Wyatts, man, when they carry guys out like that, that gets heat for me. I don't like it. I don't like it. In wrestling, I don't like it in real life. I hate it. It gets me. I feel like a kid again, because I'm just like, what are they doing? No, that's not. Yeah, so that definitely gets heat from me, them carrying guys out like that and making them look so vulnerable. But, yeah, man, just continue to make Raw and wrestling seem like a sport. Just, that's all they got to do. You can do your hijinks and your backstage, whatever, but just make it matter. Make matches matter. Win-loss records. No 50-50 booking. No just, thinking the fans won't care about what happened last week. No, we care about stuff that happened 15 years ago. Wrestling fans are almanacs. We don't forget stuff. And the booking, they make it seem like we don't remember stuff that happened in the first hour of Raw. So just keep up. Keep that up. Keep the sports presentation up.
Yeah, exactly. Keep it up. And Ryan brings up a good point, you know. Make things matter. I mean, everybody knows this. Everyone in wrestling that loves wrestling, like we do here, wearewrestling.net, everybody loves this. And this is what we do. This is why we're here on Tuesday nights every night. ladies and gentlemen. Actually, hey, I do have the correct answer in the chat room. 1992, wonderful. Next week we're going to have a lot more Survivor Series trivia, but we're going to get to the flavor of the week here in a second, right after this.
It is now time for the flavor of the week.
All right, tonight's flavor of the week is going to kind of go on Survivor Series, obviously, Survivor Series season. And we're going to talk about from 1987 to 1991 title changes that have happened at Survivor Series. Obviously, there hasn't been that many at Survivor Series that I can remember, especially in the early part of Survivor Series, because it was always, you know, team versus team, which I always loved. I love the classic Survivor Series teams. First one I really remember is actually Survivor Series 1991, when the was it 1990 when the Undertaker came out, obviously, 25th anniversary, and put the kibosh on Hulk Hogan and got the title. And that was, people at the time didn't really know The Undertaker as much. Yeah, they knew him as Mean Mark Calloway in WCW. Came out with Brother Love, of all people. But took the chair to Hulk Hogan, Sid Justice. It was in 1991, yeah. And, wow, I mean, that's kind of, and then Undertaker turned what he is now. And obviously, he's a big phenom, and, you know, the thing with The Undertaker, again, it's like you, Ryan. You feel like you're a little kid again when you see this. And it's, you know, The Undertaker comes out, absolutely destroys everything in his path. I mean, The Undertaker is the best wrestler gimmick of all time. And with that title change, I mean, as it was, it was beautiful. I mean, pretty much with that, Ryan, you got a couple minutes. What do you have to say about Survivor Series 87 to 91 title changes?
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm pretty sure that's the only one because I was trying to look it up. But, just Taker playing that character and then winning it that soon and – just like you said, the guys that were outside of the ring and just that all that stardom is cool. But just I actually had watched this a couple months ago, and I was thinking, like, man, this dude just won his, you know, first world championship, and he got to stay in character. If you go back and watch, Taker does a really great job of just staying in character and stone-faced and the dead man, and I was just like, I don't know if I would have been able to keep it together as well as he could. So for that, you know, to be able to stay in character winning your first, you know, WWF championship, that's really cool, man. So, and especially against Hulk Hogan, of all people, at that time. So, yeah, kudos to him. And, I mean, that's, like you said, 25 years later, he's still – really good at the character. I mean, even when he was Biker Taker, he was still good at being a, he was really good at being a jerk. So it's just, it's the man.
Yeah. He is the man. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to wrap it up here. Ryan, thank you so much. We had an extended night with the Ryan's Den that he so graciously does on Pancakes and Power Slams. And, great to have them. Remember, next week, Tuesday, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, Greg Gagne is going to be here for part two. I can't stress it enough. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. First time, it was just such a personal interview and just very intimate and just, wow. Blew my mind, blew everyone's mind. We Are Wrestling, absolute best wrestling website anybody could ever look up. Look it up. Tell your friends about it. It's everything you need. My name is Derek. Pancakes and Power Slams, episode 187 in the books. Ladies and gentlemen, the new Tuesday Night Titans are out. Have a great week. Love you all.